let's turn our attention now to Psalm chapter 20. Let me read the passage, and then we'll ask for the Lord's help one more time, and then we will dive into this together. Listen to the word of the Lord. To the choir master, a psalm of David. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and give you support from Zion. May he remember all your offerings and regard with favor your burnt sacrifices. May he grant you your heart's desire and fulfill all your plans. May we shout for joy over your salvation. And in the name of our God, set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He will answer him from his holy heaven with the saving might of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. They collapse and fall, but we rise and stand upright. O Lord, save the king. May he answer us when we call. Let's pray. Father, we give you praise and thanks for gathering us as a church. We don't want to take that for granted. The local church is a gift. And as we gather, it's a taste of heaven. Help us to know that reality this morning. Father, we are so thankful to have the Dosters with us, and we are thankful for the work being carried out in Mexico to give this precious gospel to the deaf. We pray your special blessing upon that ministry. We pray for your saving power to work mightily there. We pray that you would raise up more laborers for the harvest. We pray for your provision for all of the needs there. And we ask that you receive all of the glory. Father, we also pray this morning for First Baptist Church of York with Pastor Tanner Howard. We pray, even as they gather today, you would tether them tightly to the word, that you would empower Pastor Howard by your Spirit to preach your word boldly and clearly, and that it would fall on good soil. Would you do a saving work among the lost there, and would you build up into maturity the body of Christ? And Father, we thank you for our time at the Southern Baptist Convention this week. We pray that your will would be done. We pray that we would honor you, honor your word in all that we do. And Lord, I just thank you for the encouragement that it was to me. May I be an encouragement to others. Father, now as we look at Psalm 20, we read just the psalm before, that your word is sweeter than honey. Help us to value it, to taste by it that you are good. Help us to see your glory in the face of Jesus Christ through Psalm 20. Help us to depend totally on you. And Father, we depend on you in this very moment, both to preach and to listen. Help us by the Holy Spirit. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. Imagine your heart is beating out of your chest. Your palms are sweaty. Your armor seems to bear an additional weight on your shoulders today. And you look out across a valley to the opposite hillside, and you see the overwhelming Philistine army. You see, you are an Israelite, and you are at war. Life and death are in the balance on this day. But today, you are not fighting. Someone is fighting for you. You see, the Philistines have already selected their champion to fight on their behalf, and he is a giant called Goliath. Your champion is this young, recently anointed king named David. And he will enter the valley with only a sling, five stones and your life in his hands. If he wins, you live. If he dies, you die. Now let's just say you were standing on that hillside and standing right beside David before he entered the valley to fight. What would you say to him? And then as he entered the valley, what would you pray in that moment? Probably something like, God, save the king, because your life depends on it. Well, this is the prayer of Psalm 20. In Psalm 20, we don't know the exact context behind this prayer, but it is clearly a prayer for the king as he enters a battle. We know that David wrote this prayer, but it seems as if David has recorded a prayer for him, like other people praying for him. And we know, as the king goes, so goes the people. And so in this psalm, the people pray, God, save the king, because our life depends on it. Now, although 21st century Christians are not facing the Philistines, Christians today are still at war, but not with flesh and blood. Paul tells us we are at war with the spiritual forces of evil. We fight against our sinful flesh, we fight against the world's influence, and we fight against the devil. Church, our life is dependent, not actually upon our own ability to fight, but on our king's ability to fight for us. And so I think the pressing question from Psalm 20 for us this morning is this: do we depend on our king? Is our life, is our hope totally bound up, intertwined with the fate of our king? And if so, what does that mean for us? Let's look at this together. Look again with me at verse 1 of Psalm 20. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and give you support from Zion. May he remember all your offerings and regard with favor your burnt sacrifices. May he grant you your heart's desire and fulfill all your plans. The first five verses of this psalm are blessings spoken directly to the king. So this is, we're standing beside David, speaking to him before he goes to fight for us. This is that heavenly pep talk. And the psalmist here, as David records, says, first, may Yahweh answer you in the day of trouble. That is what this day is. Trouble. Life and death. This is a trial. There's a battle. And the one praying this prayer assumes that the king is going to be continually talking to God, depending on God to win this battle. And so he says, may he answer you in the day of trouble. Friend, let me just say, are you talking to God in your trial? Are you going to him in your day of trouble? Secondly, he says, may the name of the God of Jacob protect you. May the name of the God of Jacob. Now, there's nothing magical about using God's name. It's not some magic formula to get what they want. Rather, God has a reputation. God has done things in the past that give confidence for the present. God has made promises in the past. God has won victories in the past. He is the God of Jacob. He is the God who brought Israel out of Egypt, who split the sea in two, who protected his people from Pharaoh's oppressive hand. And so the prayer, the blessing to the king is, may that God protect you, king. Third, He says, may he send help from the sanctuary and give you support from Zion. The sanctuary on Mount Zion is God's throne room. It's where God rules and reigns from. And so when this champion radios headquarters for support, may it come quickly and directly. May the Lord's reinforcements stand at the ready to save the king. Then verse 3. May he remember all your offerings and regard with favor your burnt sacrifices. Here, we are appealing to the king's righteousness. He's been faithful to the Lord. He's offered sacrifices to atone for his sins. So may God give victory to the one who has honored him. You see, the psalmist here assumes that the king has been walking with God. He's not just calling on him in this day of trouble. He's been walking with his God and now depends on him in this day. Then verse 4, may he grant you your heart's desire and fulfill all your plans. What do you think the king's desire is on this day? Victory. What do you think the king's plans have centered on in this day of trouble? Fighting this battle, winning this battle. And so we say, may God give you that. May God's will be what you want in this moment. But then notice verse 5 shifts the pronoun. Instead of saying, may God give you something, it says in verse 5, may we shout for joy over your salvation. And in the name of our God, set up our banners. Church, as the king goes, so goes the people. If the king wins, the people win. If the king dies, the people die. Their life depends upon the king's victory. And so we say to the king, oh, may we, when this day is over, shout for joy because you won, because of your salvation. May we say, God has given us the victory through you, our King. And so may the Lord fulfill your petitions. May he answer your prayers. God, save the King, because our life depends upon it. Jim Harbaugh, coach of the Los Angeles Chargers, before every game, he grabs his quarterback, Justin Herbert, and he gives him a little pep talk, and then he hits his shoulder pads twice, he hits his chest twice, he hits his helmet twice, he turns him around, he hits the back of his shoulder pads twice, and then he yells at him and gets him ready for the game. That's where we are in Psalm 20 right now, right? We've given the king the pep talk. We've told him what our prayers for him are. May God answer you. May he give you your desires. May he fulfill your plans. May we shout for joy over your salvation. We give him one last squeeze of the shoulders, and he enters the valley to fight for us. And now we're left on the hillside, left to ponder. How's this going to go? Right? Like, is he being sent to his death and so my death? Or will he win us the victory? What conversation would you have with yourself in that moment as your king goes out to fight for you? Where would your confidence come from? Well, the one praying this prayer is confident. Look at verse 6. Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. I know, he says, I am certain that Yahweh saves his king. That's God's delight. That's his plan. That's been his promise, to bring salvation for his people through his chosen champion. And so whoever is praying this is confident God will come through. And so he says in the second half of verse 6, he will answer him from his holy heaven. God will answer him with the saving might of his right hand. God's got this. He's prayed and told David of his prayer. He's been sent to fight the battle for him, and now left on the hillside, the one praying says, God will save his king. God has promised to save his king. He will give us the victory today. He's got this. I love how he says he's going to swoop down with his strong right hand and wipe out the enemy just like he did to Pharaoh in the Red Sea. But to be clear, his confidence is not in the king's abilities. His confidence is not actually in the king's training or his strength or any advanced weapons he might have. Look at verse 7. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. They collapse and fall, but we rise and stand upright. Let Goliath trust in his sword. Let the Philistines trust in their armored tanks. We trust in the reputation and the character and the plan of Yahweh our God. He will fight through our king for us. Do you remember the David and Goliath story? When David enters the valley to fight Goliath and he goes out with just a sling and 5 stones. You know, Goliath taunts him, and this is what he says. Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? In other words, you here to play fetch with me? And he curses David. Well, listen to how David responded to Goliath. You come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of Yahweh of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day, Yahweh will deliver you into my hand and will give the dead bodies of the host of the Philistines this day to the birds of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know there is a God in Israel, and that all this assembly may know that Yahweh saves not with sword and spear. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand. The king's confidence was in God. His confidence was in God's promise to crush the serpent's head. That God promised to use the weak to shame the strong. And so as the psalmist prays here, as his king goes out to fight, he echoes the same confidence. Our trust is not in chariots or in horses or in our numbers or in our ingenuity. It's in our God. And then in that confident faith, he summarizes the whole prayer in the last verse. Look at verse 9. Oh Lord, save the king. May he answer us when we call. One final shout of dependence on God. Oh Lord, save the king. Because our life depends on it. Now church, I love this psalm. I love the picture of the king fighting for his people and the people depending on God to save the king. But what does this prayer have to do with us? King David is dead. You know, Christians are no longer a nation state fighting against surrounding peoples like this. So how might this prayer apply to us? Well, church, 1,000 years after David, God's chosen king, entered another battle on our behalf. And this one was for all the marbles. Jesus entered Jerusalem, ascended Calvary's hill to crush the serpent, the devil, to defeat sin and death. Jesus came to render the final blow. Yet he didn't bear a sword or even a sling. He carried a cross. Like Goliath, his opponents mocked him. They spit upon him. They put a crown made of thorns and pressed it into his head. They flogged him and they nailed him to the cross. And on that cross, in the day of his trouble, Jesus cried out to God and said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Will God save the king? And church, your life depends upon that question. Sin has a hold on us. Scripture says we were slaves to sin. Death threatens us at every corner and we cannot escape it. The accuser seeks to kill and destroy. Jesus, though, is God's Son and God's King. Without sin, he is righteous. But on that day, 2,000 years ago, God's chosen king gave his final breath on the cross. He died. He was buried. A stone was rolled over the grave. Will God save the king? Because our life, our salvation, our eternity depends upon it. You know the story. On the third day, two women came to the tomb. And to their dismay, the stone was moved from the mouth of the grave. And inside, they found no body. And two angels dressed in white appeared and said, "He is not here, for he has risen." Will God save the king? God raised the king. And so, beloved, the very death that Jesus suffered became the means by which he saved. His death was in the place of sinners. And because Jesus Christ rose from the dead, he has dealt with sin. He has dealt with death. He has dealt with all the accusations the devil can throw at his children. May we shout for joy at his salvation. God has saved the king, and so he can save you. Let me close with two applications. The first is a question. Who is your king? Who is your king? You serve someone. You belong to someone. You either serve the masters of sin and self and Satan, or you serve God's Son and King. And friend, you must know, you cannot go and fight this battle yourself. You must identify with God's chosen king. Your faith, your dependence must be in Jesus. Friend, so where is your confidence that you will be saved from your sin? If it is in your own character, or your own good works or your background or in anything other than Jesus Christ, you will perish. Put your faith in the King who can save you, the one who was raised from the dead, who dealt with sin and death. And when you place your faith in Christ, Scripture says you are united to Him. Not only do you identify with God's King identifies with you. You belong to Him, which means His death is the death of your old life. His victory is your victory. And so, secondly, Christians, here's the application. Think more about Jesus. Think more about Jesus. Interpret your situation, your life, your own day of trouble in light of your King. Because as the King goes, so goes the people. If Jesus is alive, then this prayer of Psalm 20 can be your prayer. If God answered His King, and He is your King, He will answer you. If God protected and supported and gave victory to His King and you are united to Him, He will do the same for you. Hear this, church. Your current circumstances are not the best indicator of where your life is headed. Your current feelings, your current situation is not the best indicator of where things are going. The resurrection of Jesus is the best indicator of where your life is headed. When you look at your circumstances and you're brokenhearted or grieving or suffering, preach to yourself, verse 6. I know the Lord saves His child because Jesus rose from the dead. He will answer from heaven with the saving might of His right hand. You know that because Jesus is alive and He is your champion who fought for you. And so while trust in chariots, while some trust in a change of circumstances, we trust in the name of the Lord our God, who has proven His faithfulness in Christ's resurrection. And, church, when you are fighting to put your sin to death, and that sin clings so closely, preach to yourself, verse 3, that God remembers His Son's sacrifice. And so He looks on you with grace. In His strength, there is victory over sin. And I'll close with this thought. You know, in this psalm, someone is praying for the King. But now, on the other side of Christ's victory, the New Testament says Jesus is your mediator. Which means He's praying for you. And so hear what His prayer might be to His Father on your behalf. Father, answer him in the day of trouble like you answered me. Protect her like you protected me. Send him help. Give her support. Remember my offering and sacrifice and look on them with grace and raise them like you raised me. Church, God has saved the King. He will save you. Trust Him. Let's pray. Father, you lifted your son up from the dead. His death is our victory. His blood cleanses us from all sin. And his new life is our life. Father, I pray that you would help us not to trust in ourselves, but in what Christ has done for us. And Father, help us, please, to view our life and our day of trouble in light of Christ's resurrection from the dead. You truly will work all things for the good of those who love you and are called according to your purpose. Give us faith. It's in Christ's name. Amen.